Once again, good morning. Our pastor sent me a text a little while ago, and he said, lift up Jesus. And I told him, thank you for your prayers. I was thinking about my role today, and I said in basketball, I would be considered the sixth man. In baseball, I would be considered a pinch hitter. In football, I was a bench warmer. Never got a chance to play. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to help the pastor. When I came here, I told him that I wanted to do whatever I could to help him. We all need help at some time or another in our lives. But I thank the Lord, I thank our pastor for an opportunity to share with you from the Word of God once again. If you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. John 20, beginning with verse 19. John chapter 20, verses 19, actually verses 19 through 31, but I'm going to just read 19 through 24. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share from your word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts today. Help us to glean from your word those things that we can apply to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For the last few days, people have been giving and receiving gifts and well wishes from their family and friends, their jobs, and neighbors. Some folk got things they wanted that should make their lives better, while others received things that they did not want and did not need. The day after Christmas, the lines in many stores were just as long as the day before Christmas, because people were bringing back those things that they did not need. Some people have lost loved ones this year, and it seemed like their world would come crashing down on them. In our own family, Mary and I have lost a total of 4 loved ones this year. Mary's aunt, my aunt, my brother-in-law, and the nephew, all gone in 2018. At one point, my attitude was, I don't need this right now. I'm sure many of you can say that at one time or another you experienced some devastating blows in your life. And maybe you said, I don't need this right now. Some of those devastating experiences come in the form of sickness, a financial setback, the loss of a job, the loss of a family member, the loss of a home, running out of money in your bank account, and it could go on and on and on. When these kinds of things happen to any of us, we quickly learn what we are made of and what's really important to us. Dr. Fred Craddock was a professor of preaching at Candler School of Theology at Emory University. He told a story of a hospital visit he made when he was a pastor in a small Oklahoma church. He said a patient in the hospital called him and asked if he would visit her because she was scheduled to have surgery the next morning. There was panic in her voice. Dr. Craddock remembered the woman, he remembered her, but he realized that he hadn't seen her in church for quite a while. When he got to her hospital room, he noticed that there was no Bible on the nightstand. Rather, what he saw were junk magazines about movie stars and things like that. There was not a spiritual calorie in the entire room for her to read, and she wondered why she was panic-stricken. She wondered why she had no resources to deal with the storms in her life. Many preachers, including myself, experience just the opposite when we visit people in the hospital. Some of the people I visited with in the hospital were sometimes worried and scared, but more often than not, they were also sustained by their faith that God is with them and will help them. How will we respond when our time comes? When the doctor says cancer, or when a husband or a wife is dying, or when we find ourselves suddenly broke? I've had the opportunity to work with and visit with people who were struggling with some kind of sickness or disaster, and I have often been impressed by their strength and resilience. I came away from those experiences convinced that it is possible to prepare for disaster, and not just by storing food and water, but also by doing some things that strengthens our souls. Some of the people with whom I have worked with have been men and women of faith, people who believed that God was with them and that he would help them no matter what they were facing. In our passage today, we see how Jesus' disciples responded in the face of a devastating loss. The devastating loss being Jesus' death. It was not pleasant. It was not a pleasant feeling at all for any of them. Jesus' disciples were afraid. They were disheartened, and they were defeated. They had gone into hiding and were gathered behind locked doors for fear that the men who had killed Jesus would come after them next. That was not an unfounded fear. For today, firefighters inform us it is important not just to put out the fire, but to also extinguish the buried embers that might restart the fire. It would have made perfect sense for the men who killed Jesus to regard his disciples in the same way that a firefighter would regard a buried ember. It made sense to finish the job by rounding up and eliminating every last one of Jesus' disciples. On that first day of the week, that resurrection Sunday evening, Jesus' disciples were gathered together. They were huddled in a room with the doors locked, hiding out, wondering what to do. They were probably asking each other, what is it that we need that will make this bad experience go away? Maybe you're here today and you have had a very difficult 2018. Maybe you've had it rough this year. You don't know what 2019 holds for you. and you have no idea exactly what you need. I submit to you today this thought. God gives us what we need. God gives us what we need. Notice with me that Jesus' disciples are still traumatized by the crucifixion, and they are frightened concerning what might happen next. God gives them what they need. First of all, we notice in verse 19, he gives them peace. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." We are not told how Jesus got into that locked room, but that doing something like this would be no small matter for a man that very morning who had escaped a tomb with a huge stone blocking its entrance. Peace be with you. It is very interesting how Jesus greeted his disciples. He did not say, "You all are a bunch of worthless losers." He didn't say, "Get out of my sight, you no good bums." Instead, Jesus, he did not even chastise his disciples. Rather, he blessed them. He said, "Peace be with you." He said those words, and they must have settled on the disciples the way the dew settles on the grass early in the morning on a spring day. When Jesus gave his disciples hope, they should give us hope also. When your faith wavers, and at times it will, those words should tell you that Jesus will come to you, not condemning you, but blessing you, and he'll say, "Peace be with you." When your faith wavers, as it will on occasion, each of us should take heart and remember how Jesus greeted his disciples in their weakness. Now, keep in mind, he did not condemn them. Instead, he blessed them. "Peace be with you." He gave them what they needed. That tells us that when we are trying to cope with some kind of disaster in our own lives and not doing very well at it, we can expect Jesus to come. We can expect him to come to us, not to condemn us, but to bless us, to encourage us, and to give us peace. When you're going through, he'll say, "Peace be with you." Whatever it is, peace be with you. You remember the disciples on a ship when they were, Jesus was in the back, sleep on a pillow, and the storm, the winds, and the waves were raging and beating against the ship, and Jesus got up and said, "Peace, be still." The waves stopped. The wind stopped blowing. The disciples said, "What manner of man is this? Is this that even the winds and the waves obey his will?" Jesus also said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Then we discover not only did he give them peace, he sends them to do his will. And he sends us to do his will. Jesus said in verse 21 to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." You see, Jesus did not condemn his disciples, but rather he told them that he was going to entrust his gospel to them. He was placing in their hands everything he had lived for, everything he had died for. He trusted them to take that gospel, the good news that he had risen from the grave, to the entire world. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." Jesus was giving his disciples what they needed, and he was entrusting the gospel to them. Now, in his book, Uncommon Friends, James Newton tells the story of Thomas Edison struggling to make a successful light bulb. Just making the glass bulb was a challenge. When he finally had a usable bulb, he handed it to a young helper to carry upstairs to the vacuum machine. Just before he got there, the young man dropped it. Edison didn't rebuke the young man. He just called his team together and they went back to work to create another bulb. When they finally got another good one, Edison handed the precious new bulb to the same young man to carry upstairs. He knew there was more than a bulb at stake. The young man's self-confidence was on the line as well. Edison gave the young man what he needed. Jesus did that with his disciples. The ones who were hiding out behind locked doors, he didn't criticize them. He came in and said, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus does the same for us. He says to us, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you and you and you." He entrusts us with the precious gospel, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. He trusts us to handle sacred things, to pass them on to the next generation. We may say, "But Lord, I'm not worthy." Or you might say, "Lord, I don't know how to do it." But that's not an excuse. Moses was like that. When God called Moses, placing on Moses' shoulder the responsibility of liberating the Israelites from slavery, Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses said, "Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I stutter. I have a speech impediment. I am slow of speech." But God reminded Moses that it was not Moses' ability that counted, but God's ability. So Moses ended up leading Israel to freedom. God gives us what we need. When Jesus says to us, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," and we say, "Lord, I'm not worthy," Jesus says, "I knew that. I knew that already. But that doesn't matter. I'll help you. I'll give you what you need." He'll do it. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll give you what you need. He'll send you just like the Father sent him. Finally, we discover God gives us the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse 22. It says, "When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." I was thinking about that. I woke up in the middle of the night this morning. I was like, "Lord," in other words, when he said he breathed on them, it's not like he went, "You all can't feel that, right? Did you feel that? You didn't feel that back there. Did you feel?" But it's more or less like this morning when me and my wife were early in the morning sleeping, snoring and breathing, and we were so close that I was breathing on her and she was breathing on me. You know, that when so it tells me that Jesus got close and intimate with the disciples, and when he came close enough, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, Jesus gave the disciples what they really needed. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, God's power." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Empowered by God, the disciples could and would power their way through every adversity. Through the power of God on their lives, they could and they would spread the gospel into the entire world. It would take a while, but they would get there. But not Thomas. Thomas was missing in action. In other words, Thomas was not there to see Jesus, neither was he there to receive the Holy Spirit. You ever been like that? Missed church and found out what was going on? Like, oh, man. Well, I had something else to do. Later on, the disciples told Thomas what had happened, that they had seen the Lord, but Thomas refused to believe. He said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. One week later, Jesus came into the room. Thomas was there this time. Jesus did not call Thomas a loser, and neither did he say he was ashamed of him. The very first thing Jesus said was for all the disciples. He said, peace be to you. Peace be to you. Gentle and reassuring words for his disciples who had been through a lot. They have been through a great deal. He said, peace be to you. You may have gone through a great deal this year yourself. Jesus then turns to Thomas and says, reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. He said, stop doubting and believe. Thomas said he would need two things to believe. One, he said he needed to see the print of the nails in Jesus' hand. Two, he would need to put his hand into the wound in Jesus' side. When Jesus came in, he offered Thomas those two things exactly. You see, God gives us what we need. He gives us what we need. We may not get what we want, but he'll give you what you need. You may not have got what you wanted this year, but God will give you what you need. He offered Thomas those two things. Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. Jesus gave Thomas exactly what Thomas needed. He gave him what he needed in order to believe. He gave Thomas what he needed in order to put the troubled memories behind him and rise to the possibilities ahead. Jesus does that for us too. Aren't you glad about that? I know I am. In the dark moments of our lives, Jesus comes to us saying, peace be to you. Jesus comes to us giving us his strength and honoring our faith, and he gives us what we need. The Lord came to a room full of disciples who were afraid, fearful, and unbelieving, and he blessed them. None of us knows what the future holds for us, but in our darkest moments, when we may be afraid, we may be uncertain, we may be unbelieving, Jesus comes to us saying, peace be to you. He comes to us offering us what we need, and he'll do that every time. Now you have to be lined up with his word. You've got to be obeying what his word says. You can't be like the lady in the hospital that Dr. Craddock spoke about. You've got to make sure that you're in a right relationship with God, and then he will come into your life when you're going through and you'll think, I don't see a way out, and he'll come to you and say, peace be with you. He'll calm things down, and after he calms things down, he'll send you forward. He'll say, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He didn't save us to just sit around and talk about all of our religious experiences. He saved us so we could go forth. As the Father has sent me, he says, so I send you. He'll do that for us. And then while he's doing that, he'll say, look here, breathe on us and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, because we were learning in Acts in Bible study in our Sunday school class that the Holy Spirit comes to give us the boldness that we need to go forth and share the gospel. Because you and I of ourselves, we cannot talk to anybody on the street without the power of the Holy Spirit on us. I guarantee you, you can't do it on your own. We need the Holy Spirit to empower our lives so we can be witnesses for God. And he'll give us the boldness to witness to folk. So Jesus says, peace be with you, offering us what we need. God gives us what we need. What do you need from the Lord today? Do you need to be certain of your salvation? Do you need to rededicate your life to God? Do you need the Lord to increase your faith? Whatever it is, God is able to give you what you need. It doesn't matter. Is there anything too hard for God? No. He'll give you what you need. Would you bow with me as we go to prayer? And as we pray, ask God to give you what you need as you face the new year and all the uncertainties that lie ahead. God gives us peace. God sends us just as he sent his son. And God gives us the Holy Spirit. He'll do that for you just as he did for them. Let's bow and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us what we need. This year, you've made a way out of no way. This year, you've given us a portion of health and strength. This year, you've given us your word abundantly and overflowing. This year, you've given us pastors and ministers and teachers that can help us to be the men and women that you called us to be. Lord, you've given us a mission to go to the lost. You said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts today. Whatever we stand in need of, whatever the situation is, if there's someone that they don't know you and they're pardon of their sins, speak to them and draw them unto yourself. Father, if someone needs to rededicate their lives before they go into the next year, Father, they want to be a better man and woman for you, do that, we pray. If they want to be filled with your Holy Spirit in order to have the boldness that you want them to have, breathe on them, Father. Breathe on them, Father, in the name of Jesus, and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we pray that you would bless this church. Bless us as we look forward to the unknown. This last Sunday in the year, help us to be thankful. Help us to be grateful. But most of all, help us to be found in right relationship with you. Now, Father, just bless and have your will and way in our lives. Give us what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.